Okay, let's start with Launchpad McQuack.
That's not the actual title of this.
We are Sex Bomb! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lemonade stasis. Mama serpentine. I got a breathalyzer. And my body's clean.
Okay, welcome to Launchpad McQuack. You're listening at 93.1 KHDX here at Hendricks College in Conway, Arkansas. And I am your host, Rhodes Daigle, along with
Sheldon Rainey. Thank you for tuning in. We are Launchpad McQuack here at Hendricks College. Today we're doing a special show.
One that I'm very excited for.
That's because all of our shows are special. We're talking about... Rhodes, you're really excited about this topic. What is it?
It's Star Wars. I'm honestly
Star what?
The wars and the stars. The fault in our wars. But like, so yeah, that's what we're talking about today. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna kind of split it up into three different quote unquote categories, more like eras. We're gonna start with the prequels, and I know people will probably, feel a little. I don't know. I know a lot of people have mixed emotions about the prequels, but it's not just the prequel movies, but just that whole era of the Clone Wars and stuff like that. We're not going to dip into the Old Republic, but we will be doing the prequel era and then original trilogy and sequel era stuff.
And we'll try to fit in, just all things Star Wars.
Because yeah.
Honestly, it's probably had one of the biggest cultural influences.
It's pretty great. It's crazy how big of a phenomenon it is.
Really, though. For what, it came out like 77?
Yeah. I mean,
that movie came out in 77, and then ever since then, it's just spawned so many spinoffs, and like, I don't even know. Like,
it's done a lot for the sci-fi genre.
Yeah. My dad does not like Star Wars.
Really?
He likes Star Trek.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, I like Star Trek too, to be honest.
I like both. I think both are great.
I like both as well, but like, my heart is...
My heart's with Star Wars.
Set with Star Wars, just because like I watched it as a kid.
I just think there's so many things that like is moving about the series, like the music and the visuals,
oh, yeah.
And like just like the whole Star Wars is.
It's crazy.
It's one of the best representations of good versus evil in film.
Yeah,
and I will stand by that statement.
And not only just. The representation in film, but the way that it's dipped over into so many different other elements of entertainment, there's no way we couldn't talk about this.
Yeah.
Video games, books, comics, like, I mean, it's crazy how much that Star Wars, I mean, it's a
way
huge pop culture. It's a huge, I mean, it for what it did for pop culture, it's just insane.
Yeah.
Honestly. But yeah, so I guess we're gonna start off with a couple songs to get you ready.
To get you ready
for the, For the prequel era, and these are the two tracks that we picked from the prequel movies. And the first one is Duel of Fates, and the second one is Battle of the Heroes. And this is from Episode 1 and 3, both by John Williams. And hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Launchpad McQuack. That was Duel of Fates and
Battle of the Heroes, both by John Williams, the legend.
Amazing composer. Anyway, we're going to kick off our Star Wars discussion talking about the prequel movies. And if you're not familiar with the prequel movies, it is the series of three movies that came out after the original trilogy. It came out the 70s and 80s.
So the prequels started, Phantom Menace came out in 1999. And then I believe
until 2005.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Sith.
And it's funny because as like big as a Star Wars fan as I am, the first Star Wars movie I saw was Attack of the Clones. arguably the worst film.
Arguably the worst. Yeah.
And I watched on VHS at home and I was still just enamored by it as a child. I was just like, whoa. I don't know, the whole concept of it was really interesting.
What's interesting for me, I am proud to say that I've seen I haven't seen the original trilogy in Revenge of the Sith in theaters when it came out.
That's so probably the most redeemable.
That's my claim to fame, is that I saw one of the prequel movies, and I consider the prequel movies important, even though they're not very good.
And they still offer. Well, I'd make the argument that The Phantom Menace is not important as much as I do Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn. But in the terms of the actual, if you're just going to watch the movies, I feel like one is just completely irrelevant almost to the plot.
I guess so.
But that's fine. I mean, cause I know Machete Order watching completely cuts out number one.
Yeah.
Cause there's a certain order that you can watch these movies in that is 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, 7. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's, they just think it's not, it's more about learning about Darth Vader, not Anakin as a kid.
Yeah.
But hey, we did get pod racing.
Yeah, we did get pod racing and Darth Maul. So that's a plus.
Yeah, I mean Qui-Gon Jinn too.
Said earlier, before the radio show started, Star Wars is about Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader.
Yeah. I mean that's what the entire with the sequels, I'd argue more that it's about the Skywalker family.
The legacy. Skywalker legacy.
Exactly. But if you're going with the originalist, it's definitely about.
Well, in that case, Skywalker. I'd say one's important because you get to see where Anakin came from.
Yeah.
And his potential, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just people make the argument that it's just kind of not important to the to his arc in a sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To the arc of Anakin Skywalker to Darth Vader. But as much as people do hate the prequels, I gotta say, the Clone Wars TV show is amazing. I love it.
Which Clone Wars TV show? Because there were two.
Yeah, there's one that's non-canon, actually. So there's one that came out in 2003, and it was a miniseries, and it was a Clone Wars miniseries that came out pre-Revenge of the Sith, actually. And that's where we actually first saw General Grievous.
Ooh.
For those who are not familiar, General Grievous is one of the characters from Revenge of the Sith, and he actually, it's very, very surprising that he made his first appearance in a little TV show.
Yeah, that's weird.
But I'm talking about the other one, which came out, I believe 2007, something like that. It came out after, and it fills the gap in between episode 2 and 3. And I think it's very important in fleshing out the characters and stuff like that. But
prequels are interesting. What a lot of people refer to them as, I'm sure most viewers or audience members are aware of the original trilogy and probably have seen at least one of those movies. If you're not familiar with the prequel trilogy, it's kind of the build-up to those movies, and it's a lot about it's a lot of politics, essentially.
Yeah, that's the main, most people's quarrel with it.
I think it's interesting though, because the original trilogy is based on all this fighting and all this this struggle to overthrow this empire, and then prequels, you get to see how that, was built up and all the politics behind it. And what's another thing I really like, and I just forgot it, but
fill
in my knowledge.
Well, with that, it's just kind of where did the empire come from? How did this person, how did the Sheev Palpatine guy, where did he come from? Who's this guy? But I think it's funny also, say what you will about the prequels, but you do get a lot of good memes and just jokes from them. Even though they do hold good, I will say Revenge of the Sith, I enjoy as a movie, but I also enjoy it as a joke as well.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't not. but even with the politics,
do it.
I mean, exactly. I mean, I'm a prime example.
Do it.
But it's just kind of the politics of it. I think they just could have done a little bit better. You know,
it was cool because you've got this one senator, and you think he's like the good guy. You know, he's the good guy, and then like
he's the good guy.
Secretly, he's he was paying terrorists to wage war on his home planet, so that what was it? In response, the Jedi would become more like generals, and they would have to issue a clone army, which then in turn ultimately was used against them by issuing this order to eliminate all the Jedi.
It's pretty crazy.
I think I got that right, right?
It's extremely complex. That's all I'm going to say. Like, the whole Trade Federation, like, that stuff's just wild. I mean, it's just, like, the way that it goes back all the way to that episode one, and you have these, I mean, yeah, basically, you do have people, like, the fact that he's, like, plotting basically just war on his own planet.
Yeah.
Just to kind of...
Just to take control.
It's for personal gain.
And another thing is, I think crazy is that, Senator Palpatine or whatever, he like, it's his rise to power by like, from the inside, he's just slowly getting power. And then like, once, what's crazy is that once he does gain power and the Republic no longer is the Republic, it becomes the Empire. I didn't realize this until now. It's like, their mission was to take over the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
And like, not, you know, we live in a solar system of, you know, a couple, what, like eight planets or whatever?
Just a couple.
Just eight planets. That is like nothing compared to the size of a galaxy. Like the Milky Way, our Milky Way galaxy is hundreds of times larger than our own solar system. So imagine just like administering and controlling an entire galaxy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about it.
That's pretty wild.
Imagine like just the enlistment. All those stormtroopers.
All right.
To have to occupy all those planets.
All right. You're going
to
occupy billions of light years over here. And
but also think about all the planets that don't have life and stuff like that, too. You know what I mean? I know in the Star Wars universe, like a lot of them like harbor life and stuff like that. But
and I'm sure there's like a lot of unknown planets, too.
Well, there's also just the Outer Rim, where they don't really stretch. Like they have a presence, but it's not.
It's not like enforced.
Yeah, like Jabba the Hutt. Kind of owns like, you know, Tatooine and stuff.
Wait,
like
is Tatooine on the Outer Rim?
Yeah. Okay. Tatooine's Outer Rim. That's why they were kind of out of the reach, I guess, a little bit. But you see, they do. Okay. I feel like we're dipping too much into the. We should save this for that. We're going to save this for, you know, when we actually do talk about the Empire, because we're talking about the Republic right now.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Republic.
I mean, you have all
these
Jedi.
It's a democracy. You got it?
you heard? But I mean,
you
the,
know.
The whole. I like it because it fleshes out the concept of the Jedi, too.
Yeah.
The prequels. It fleshes out, like, kind of what they are, what they stand for. And also to prove that they're not as great, maybe, as the original trilogy may have seemed
it
to
made
make them out to be.
Morally ambiguous.
Yeah, you kind of think, you see what they're saying, and you're like, wow, you're really going to hold every single, like, you know, you're kidnapping babies. I mean, let's point that out. They're kidnapping babies. You know, they take away, like, force sensitive kids at a young age and train them to become Jedi.
It's really interesting because the Jedi are supposed to be the protectors of good, essentially.
Yeah.
And they are these, I think the equivalent is like a knight, you could say.
I mean, that's why they're called Jedi Knights.
Jedi Knights, yeah. But they're raised from very young, like you said, and then they have to go through trials and then like obey this very strict code. I think actually a really cool thing about it, I think, is like the trials.
Yeah.
I didn't really like know what they were, but I remember I was playing this Force Unleashed video game and like you had to go through the trials, I think, at one point, or like go to where the trials were being taken place.
Yeah. They talked about it in the 2003 Clone Wars series as well, because Anakin had never actually gone through a certain number of trials to become master, I think. Or no, I think this is from Padawan at Night. And he, actually, they did an alternative. He didn't actually complete every single trial to actually get there. I mean, that's the whole argument. He's just a loser, honestly. But
I mean, you could say that about Frodo.
I'd like also to compare the Jedi to not only knights, but like even priests.
Yeah.
Or like people who have religious, like members of religious affiliation that have certain standards that they're held to.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it, these Jedi, they're trained, you know, to be Jedi from a young age. And you can't, I guess it's kind of hard to get out of that, I'd imagine. But think about the standards that they're held to. Like no emotion, you know, you don't think about that, like no passion. You're supposed to.
You can't.
celibate. Love. I mean, honestly, yeah. Celibate. Like, that's just insane so when you think about it.
You're saying, like, you can, the Jedi, like, they're more closely aligned to priests than knights, almost.
I would say they're a healthy blend.
Or like a
I don't know about healthy, but they're a blend.
Here's a weird sci-fi mix of a priest knight.
Honestly, that's kind of what they are, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like a religious thing to a certain extent, but they also hold up, you know.
You know, what's really interesting is the
values of the government.
Yeah. And there's also, I'm going to get into this later when we talk about the original trilogy, but there's a really big Buddhist influence on the Jedi.
And yeah, like, I can see that.
The Force and like balancing the Force and a lot of the like the battle techniques and like, you know, the Jedi meditate. They and a lot of like, you know,
a lot of mindfulness.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. And there's, I just remember seeing like there were some Buddhist monks that practiced the certain like martial arts that some Jedi use, and I was like, it was just a weird comparison I saw. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should, I feel like we should probably move on so we can talk a lot about the original trilogy as well. But it's hard. It's hard, you know, because I feel like we could talk about this for a long time.
Let's move on to the original trilogy. Let's get
Princess Leia's theme.
Let's start with something.
You want to start with the desert?
Let's start some desert auction wackiness.
All right, cool. So we got two songs for you guys. And the first one is The Desert and the Robot Auction, which is off of A New Hope.
Close your mind and imagine a wacky auction where robots are sold for pennies of what they're worth.
In the desert.
In the desert.
Basically Burning Man.
Aliens. So
yeah, we have that. And then we have a Princess Leia's theme from the original trilogy.
All right. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Launchpad McQuack, yes. KHDX 93.1 FM.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to Launchpad McQuack here at KHDX 93.1 with Rhodes Daigle and...
Rhodes Daigle.
Okay. Well,
welcome back to Launchpad McQuack.
With Sheldon Daigle and Rhodes Rainey.
Welcome to the rainy hour. Our topic today is...
War stores.
The back to tank.
God.
Regardless. Anyway, we're talking about Star Wars today here at Launchpad McQuack. We are now talking about the original trilogy, the first inception of Star Wars back in 1977, produced by George Lucas, or directed by George Lucas.
First one was.
Yes.
A New Hope was, and then the rest were produced. The Empire Strikes Back was directed by Irving Kirshner, and then I forgot who directed the third one.
I don't know.
To be honest, I can't remember exactly, but...
Anyway, So yeah, it came out, the original movie was just called Star Wars, and it was about this dude, Luke.
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 He was a farmer.
He was a moisture farmer on the outer rim planet of Tatooine. He was then invited to a great journey to, I don't really know.
Defeat evil. I mean, honestly,
the empire that controlled, the galaxy.
Well, did he know that it was his father? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Spoiler.
All right, look, if you're listening to the show, I hope you have some kind of, basic understanding, I guess, of what it is.
I think most people have a basic understanding.
Dude, the movie came out in, 1980. The Empire Strikes Back did. I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler at this point.
Yeah,
everybody knows that Darth Vader is...
I came into this world knowing that Darth Vader... I don't even know how I knew it.
You came out of the womb and said Darth Vader is Luke's father.
No, literally, I was in, first grade, and, I don't know how I knew it, but, I just knew that he was his father, and I don't remember anyone ever telling me that.
Yeah, you're kind
of
right.
I think it's you know how you're enculturated? That was part of my enculturation.
Yeah, I don't know, but... I would like to also point out that it's really funny because the original Star Wars movie that came out in 1977 was supposed to be The Phantom Menace.
Oh my God.
That's because he was supposed to do it in order. But the deal was that he felt like he couldn't, the technology wasn't there, for the CGI. And it still really wasn't for the prequels, but he wanted to create these clone armies and the huge droid armies. He wanted to have the CGI for it.
That makes sense.
And it's funny because the original title was something crazy, the Journal of the Wills, the Star Wars, the Tale of Luke Starkiller,
the Star Lizard in the Sky, and my great grandma's heart. I don't know.
It's funny because the original the original duo was supposed to be, instead of Obi-Wan and Anakin, it was supposed to be Mace Windu and CJ Thorpe. And I just think that is so funny. And it's funny because we actually got a character, Mace Windu.
C-3PO.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So
what if we redid the Star Wars, but instead of Chewbacca and Han Solo, it was Mace Windu and C-3PO? What a combination that would be.
That'd be pretty weird.
Anyway.
Han Solo was actually all supposed to... Chewbacca wasn't supposed to be a character originally. It was supposed to just be Han Solo, and he was supposed to be a rug. He was... He was actually just going to be a big alien. Yeah, bingo. That was it. Right on the money.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess I feel like we should dive back into the Empire thing that we were talking about
earlier. So yeah, in Star Wars, I guess kind of the exposition is that there's this empire that controls the entire galaxy, right? And there's a rebel cause that's trying to, break apart and, relinquish control of the empire. And so there's that, and when you follow the main protagonist Luke, and he begins to learn about, he's born into this system, and then he begins to learn about the Jedi, and the Jedi are already kind of extinct, they're gone. And
yeah, Obi-Wan, but that's about it.
But he learns it from Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan talks about the Jedi code and what the Jedi stood for, and and then he shows him the weapon of the Jedi, which is the lightsaber, probably the most iconic weapon we've ever seen within the past 30 years that doesn't exist.
Shoot, 40 years.
Yeah.
Crazy? But yeah, I think it's interesting, the whole Empire thing, because it's very, that's the good thing about the prequels, is it does explain the Empire, blah, blah, but then... The thing about the original trilogy is that it does leave intact the kind of the sacredness behind the Jedi, and how it leaves them as more of a mystery.
Yeah,
which
like
is
that.
Good, but then I do like the prequels in the sense of fleshing them out and all that stuff and seeing kind of how what they really were. But there was this certain element, and to be honest, the two Jedi that we do see in the original trilogy that are left are both they're both some of the better ones. You know what I mean? Obi-Wan and Yoda, are the two that you see. And they're both pretty great. It's funny because
they're probably the best.
Exactly. And so it's pretty interesting. I love that aspect of, and the whole Force is a mystery. And
I was going to bring up the, with the, once Obi-Wan introduces the idea of the Jedi. He introduces like the concept of the Force to Luke, and Luke's like, "What?
What?
What is this witchcraft you're talking about?"
And it basically is. I mean, and it's pretty interesting. And I kind of liked the mysterious element to it in the original trilogy. I liked that it was kind of kept as a it's never really explained. You know what I mean? It's just kind of it's there.
In the original trilogy, the Force is kind of explained as this powerful connection that binds the universe together. And I'm looking up a quote right now.
Talking about the one that Yoda says?
No, it's when he's originally explaining it.
Because, you know, he says, like, it binds us, like, it flows through us and all that stuff.
That's exactly what I'm trying to look for right now.
Yeah, yeah. And that one's, but even, like, when, it's talking about Obi-Wan, and he's sitting there, and he's explaining it to him.
Yeah.
Kind of what exactly it is. I think it's from The New Hope.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, and even that, I love what the, not just the Jedi, but also just kind of the way that also interacts with the outside universe of Star Wars, everybody else in the world. the cool thing about the original trilogy is that, like, a lot of people don't really believe in the Jedi. Really? They believe they're kind of just like a hoax.
Oh, yeah, they thought a lot of people were like, yeah, the Jedi didn't exist.
Yeah, and another funny thing is, so I read this, or I'm reading it right now, actually. It's literally just called Twilight Company. It's a Star Wars book. And it kind of, it brings a perspective from, like, the lower ranks of the, basically the...
The common people.
Yeah, but these are rebels. So they know what's going on within the rebel community, and they see Luke as, like, a religious zealot, basically, like, later in the years, because they just say, like, this is hocus pocus, like, we don't really need to worry about
it. It's really interesting, because, like, after the Empire took over, you kind of stopped seeing... And obviously, in the prequels, the Jedi were all exterminated, and that's why you don't see the Jedi anymore. And I guess over time, they just became, like, this mythical thing, and people, you know, they stopped believing that they were actually true. They became more of a myth than anything, than fact. And along with that, the concept of the Force died as well, because the Jedi were the people that are, you know, purveyors of the Force. And I have the quote right now by Obi-Wan, and he says, "The Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things that surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together."
Yeah.
And so with the Jedi gone, you don't really have any way for people to understand the Force. And, like, I completely forgot about that. Like, the Rebels and A New Hope are, like, they're kind of skeptical. And they, like, are skeptical.
Definitely.
Like, they don't really believe this whole Force thing is a thing until Luke demonstrates it. And then, like,
exactly.
Han Solo is like,
he's another skeptic.
He's like,
there's
oh,
a lot of skeptics.
There's so many skeptics at the Force.
But that's kind of cool. That's the whole thing with the Star Wars universe, is, like, I love that you can get out of that and you can get into stuff that's really interesting. Like, the whole bounty hunter culture, all that stuff, like the way the Outer Rim works, and all that, the more, like, lawless lands. It's pretty cool. Like, it's funny because you have, God, it's just so hard to talk about this in, like, 1 hour.
Yeah.
Even less than 1 hour. And it's like, I feel like we're kind of sticking a lot to, like, more like the Jedi and kind of like the main story, but there's so much more to the Star Wars universe.
There's so much more.
But that book is really cool in the way that it fleshes out those kind of characters. And even, you know, it's funny because they don't see the rebellion as, like, this religious cause, which is kind of what it is. Like, it's too religious.
Yeah,
like, the heads of each end, the rebel. And
it's kind of a religious thing.
It is. I mean, the leaders of each, okay, quote unquote leaders. I say Luke is the leader of the rebellion. That's kind of false, but in the end, he becomes a figurehead.
He's the symbol of the rebellion.
Later, definitely in the later years. And, like, because, I mean, it does start before he's even, you know, like, really. I mean, he's still a moisture farmer while, like, the rebellion is still going on. But I guess it's kind of different because you have these figureheads from each side. You have Darth Vader and, like, the Emperor, and then you have, like, Luke, who are both basically religious figures. But then these people who are actually fighting the wars down in all these, like, battles and stuff, they don't believe in any of that. They're just there fighting. They're not,
they're there for, yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I think that's what's a cool aspect about it. All the different takes on it. Even the people who come contact with Jedis, they still will just be like,
but that's the cool thing about Star Wars, the original movie I'm talking about for this, is that you have all these skeptical people talking about, like, you know, the Force isn't real. And then I love at the very end, it's about faith. It, like, comes down to, like, faith, and, like, comes down to, like, Luke is, like, flying the X-Wing or whatever, and he's trying to blow up the Death Star, and then, like, you hear Obi-Wan like the in the background or whatever, and he's like, the use the Force, Luke. And like, that's such a powerful moment for me. And then like, he closes his eyes
because he takes off the headset.
He takes off the headset because he just believes he doesn't need it. And then he shoots it, and it deadly accurate, and goes down into like the exhaust pipe, and it blows up the Death Star. And like, and then after that, like, it proves to Luke that the Force is real. And then over time, more and more people become like accepting of this idea, and you've got this more, the rebellion gives more of a, like a boost, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. There's so many facets.
It's just about having faith in this like connection of the universe. It's so cool. I don't know.
I think the concept of the Force is like, honestly, it's a cooler, like, quote unquote religion than like anything else.
Yeah, it's
and again, it's parts like, elements of Buddhism too.
It's Buddhist as well. It's Buddhist. It's like kind of a Taoist. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's definitely got those kind of elements in there.
There's a way to everything.
You can see the Force is like an alternative to like the Tao.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's actually the Tao is just
it's
like
called the Way. I mean, that's like that's what it translates to.
It's just there's a natural like fluidity to the universe, and you just have to like fit yourself into that way and like accept. I don't know, just accepting your place in the universe.
I don't know.
Really interesting.
God, Star Wars has so much. I guess we could probably segue into the sequels.
Yeah,
we could. We could play Ray's theme. Play Ray's theme real quick, and we'll just end with the. The sequels.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the original trilogy. It's kind of hard.
We could talk about just Star Wars.
Actually, before we move on, I just kind of want to say the whole redemption arc of
Darth Vader
is very interesting. The original title for Return of the Jedi was Revenge of the Jedi. That was actually the original title. They actually had posters made, and you can get posters that were, say, Revenge of the Jedi. But they switched it.
Like
because George Lucas was like, wait, Jedi don't seek revenge.
Wait, I messed up.
Basically, honestly.
It's like...
But it's pretty interesting. And
it's like that meme of Pitbull. And he's like, if I was a dog, I'd be a chihuahua.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, no.
But it's... I don't know. I think he's... Anakin Skywalker is a very interesting character. You know, we're talking about how it's the Skywalker like saga, and like we barely even talked about Anakin, I feel like.
Yeah.
But... I think the prequels did not do him justice, but I think the original trilogy in the
just
Clone Wars...
Just so we have it on record.
just so people know. But then the Clone Wars does the actual character of Anakin pretty well, but then Darth Vader is honestly one of the figureheads of evil. I just want to point that out. Like, it
Whoa.
Is... Dude, when you think of bad guys, tell me you don't think of Darth Vader.
He's menacing, and he's dark.
I mean, he's a robot, basically.
He's more machine than he is man.
Exactly. And also, fun fact, the three, like, Sith... from the prequels are all foreshadowing to Darth Vader, as in, well, I say Sith pretty loosely, but Grievous, because he's more machine than man, like the robotic
Darth
elements.
Maul.
Darth Maul is his anger and hatred. Mm-hmm. And then Count Dooku is...
Like greed.
God, I can't remember all deception. The actual... Oh, it's because he's a fallen Jedi. That's what it was. Because Dooku was actually a Jedi before he turned
Sith. Yeah,
it was
trained by Yoda, right?
Yep. So that was pretty interesting.
I would like to say one last thing because we don't have a lot of time left to talk about the original trilogy. The fact that Darth Vader is Luke's father. Just want to point out in film history, that is the greatest plot twist of all time.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. And the fact that like people were freaking out when that happened.
Whoa.
I mean, when you take it in the context, like if you just watched A New Hope, I mean, you would never suspect.
Because
it actually wasn't planned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't planned until the directing of the Empire Strikes Back.
But it's like the main bad guy is the father of the main protagonist. Like,
pretty
what
cool.
kind of like that creates such a great, like, you know, struggle for the protagonist. Like,
yeah. The chemistry there, like, changes up quite a bit.
No, that's impossible.
There's a lot more stakes. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when Obi-Wan has to go fight Anakin. He doesn't want to kill Anakin.
And that's what makes a character good, is having to go through struggles that actually matter.
Because, I mean, Anakin was his Padawan. He did not want to kill him. But, okay, that's a lot.
All right, we're done with the
original
trilogy.
We're going to play Ray's theme for you, and we'll just touch on the sequels.
Touch them?
Yeah, we'll touch them.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Thanks for listening to Launchpad McQuack. We'll be back in a minute. All right, that was Rey's theme from the new movie, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Yeah, it came out in 2015. It was pretty good. And it follows up the events of, it's, I think, 20 years after Return of the Jedi, after the Empire has been defeated.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I'm interested to see where they go. We don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but a lot of people have problems with Force Awakens for being a rehash of A New Hope.
It kind of was like a new hope.
But I give them... Okay, I also want to say it's more of a combination of the original trilogy in one movie. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no ground battle in A New Hope in the third act like there was in Force Awakens. Like, there was no lightsaber battle. There was none of that. I just to me, there was something... I feel like it's more of a mesh of the original trilogy.
I thought it was really good.
I still enjoyed it. And it did its job.
People argue... use this argument is that it brought a whole new generation of people into the Star Wars universe that really hadn't grown up with.
Yeah.
Like, we grew up, so like, our parents grew up with like the original trilogy. We grew up with kind of like the prequels.
I feel like even us kind of extend. Because yeah. I know quite a few people who haven't seen Star Wars.
But still, I think this new Star Wars movie and the two movies that are coming after it are for the people that are kind of just now growing up. Yep. And that's going to be their, like...
I feel like it's also ours. I just want to say, I like to put claim on it. Because, like, I got to claim it too. I got to sit in that theater and I got to say...
I mean, because we're in college. Like, that's us.
Yeah, yeah. I was so excited.
We get two trilogies.
Exactly. Wait, may even get three. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
So, like, the director for The Last Jedi apparently got a whole trilogy signed off.
Oh, my God.
But it's not following the Skywalker family.
I know, but still, like...
It's so many Star Wars movies.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Look, man, my attitudes toward all this stuff is, like, before it comes out, I'm just going to say, look, I'm just going to see how it is. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes it may surprise you.
Yeah, but then,
speaking of Lord of the Rings TV show, did you hear about that?
Just, like, some people, like, people like to make money, you know? They don't like to let things die.
DC. Warner Brothers.
Nine Rocky movies?
Nine? Eight. I've seen five.
There's eight.
What?
No.
The first four are credible.
The first four are credible. There's a fifth one and a sixth one.
I hated the fifth one.
There's seven.
There's Balboa.
There's seven.
Is there one called Balboa?
There is one called Balboa. And there's Creed.
I liked Creed, though.
Creed was really good.
Creed was pretty good. Okay.
And we're not talking about Rocky.
Yeah, we're not talking about Rocky.
It did come out probably the same year, though.
Yeah. Okay. But I'd say, you know, the whole...
Where are we going now? Where the new movies.
That's the thing. I'm interested to see what The Last Jedi has to offer. That's what I'm going to say. I'm interested to see what direction it takes this new trilogy in.
You've not been paying attention to any advertisements in the past month and a half. The Last Jedi is the next Star Wars movie coming out December 15th. I'm super excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm going to try and see it. We're going to try and see it together, hopefully.
Yeah. You got to come to Little Rock.
Don't pressure me into this.
Come to Little Rock.
But... I don't know. I did enjoy The Force Awakens.
The Force Wake?
I saw it so many times, like when it came out. I'm not going to lie.
My eyes were bleeding after I saw it.
And I just remember the scene where the X-Wings come over the water. I just was losing my mind. Okay, so there were three moments in that movie where I just couldn't contain. Like, I was physically shaking. I mean, first was just the opening. I mean, just when, like, Star Wars came onto the screen and the music started playing. I couldn't contain myself.
Rhodes was drooling at the mouth.
I didn't think it was real. And then when the X-Wing fighters came over the water and you know, it's the Resistance theme, and I just lost my... And then when Rey pulls the lightsaber...
No, that was mine.
Yeah, that one was just...
In the end, I don't... Spoiler alert, but in the end of the movie, when Rey is fighting Kylo Ren, and... No, it's Finn fighting Kylo Ren, and then Kylo Ren goes to, like, get the lightsaber, and he's, like, holding his arm out, and then it shoots out of the ground and goes past him and then goes right into Rey's hand. That was an amazing
And then the
moment.
Force theme starts playing.
Yes.
Oh, so good. I got chills.
Because you didn't know that she could use the Force until then.
Well, you had, like, little inklings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of... What? Inkling is a word? Don't laugh at me. Like when she used the mind trick.
But, yeah, but still.
You didn't see her actually...
The full Force.
Yeah. It was super... God, it was great.
But anyway... It was great. Last Jedi is going to follow the events of The Force Awakens, and apparently it's going to have a big plot twist, is what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard it's the biggest one in Star Wars history.
And it's going to be really dark. So I'm really excited.
Well, let's see if they can outdo that I am your father.
If they can outdo the already greatest plot twist in cinema history.
In history. I don't know. It's funny because also, fun fact before we end, the quote is not Luke, I am your father. The quote is no, I am your father.
Oh, I knew. Yeah.
Just so everybody knows. That's a common like.
Common misconception. Don't get it wrong.
Yeah. So
we will find you and we will correct
you. That's impossible. But yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed this show today.
Go see The Last Jedi.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to just advertise for Disney right now.
Yeah, we're getting paid by Disney.
Yeah, surprise.
Sorry, guys.
Honestly, I wish I was getting paid by Lucasfilm.
I'm actually an agent of Lucasfilm.
But, you know, sometimes I feel like we should have gone to 2-hour slot.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out because we've had many shows where we should, like, could have easily gone over.
Yeah. If you're listening to this right now, we could have talked about this for at least another hour.
So, yeah, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Go ahead and hit that like button for me. If you enjoyed our radio show today, listen to it. Not next Friday because we're on Thanksgiving break, but the next Friday after that, we'll be doing another radio show and we'll be doing on
comic books
and comic book movies.
Yeah, just kind of graphic novel stuff in general.
We're building up to our finale. We're not going to say what it is. We're building up to our finale, Star Wars, comic books, and then the finale. Okay, so be prepared.
Hope you guys enjoyed.
You're listening to Launchpad McQuack on KHDX.
Pad Quack Launch Mad.
Get ready to launch it. I'm going to quack it.
93.1, Rhodes Daigle, and Sheldon Rainey.
Roll out.